This is Gene Montrestelli, the editor of TappanQ&A.com, and welcome to the Ruas Center's October teaching call. I might sound a little bit different this evening. We had a few technical issues this evening, and the regular microphone system that I use is not working. So I will speak clearly, and we should be fine. If for some reason you cannot hear me as always, all you need to do is raise your hand by pressing *2, or what you can do is you can always ask a question online by simply clicking on the question over in the left-hand side and submitting it, and I will get a chance to answer your questions as we move along. And I can see that the questions on the site are coming in. Perfect. So what we're going to do tonight is I thought it would be fun to teach you how I tap regularly. I know that we go over lots and lots of tools, and different tools have different implementations. But I thought it would be good to just, for a week, I paid attention to all of the tapping that I was doing. And what I did is I just took notes and kind of kept a list of them. And what I wanted to do was just share with you this week the 6 different tools that I used when tapping for myself and tapping for my issues. So as we walk through these tonight, as always, just press *2 to raise your hand to ask a question, or you can just type in a little question in the chat box and we'll talk about them as we go through. Because of the technical issues, if for some reason something is coming through unclear and you'd like me to say it again or we're having problems, please just let me know so we can fix that right away. So the first of 6, and really as I look at my notes for tonight, I have this labeled as number 0 instead of number 1. And the reason I have it labeled as number 0 is this is one that we've talked about many times before, so I'm not going to go into a great deal of talking about it. But I like to tap at the beginning of the day and the end of my day on what is going to happen and what has happened. And so when I'm going through my to-do list, I simply look at every single item on my to-do list. I see if there's any emotional charge around any of those things. If there is, I tap for. So as I'm working through my to-do list, I look at number 1, is there something, no charge. Number 2, you know, like say, you know, take trash out, no charge for that. Drop off laundry, no charge for that. Make sales call. Well, that might get a little concerned because I'm doing something that I am not used to, or I might be asking someone for something that I'm afraid they're gonna say no, so an emotional charge shows up, so I'm going to tap for that. I did the exact same thing for my calendar. I look at every single thing that is coming today. I look at each of the events on the calendar, and I see if there's some nervousness about it. Now, it might not always be nervousness. Sometimes it's dread. For example, tomorrow I have to go to the New York DMV, and I have to get a local driver's license. And to say the least, this is not a task that I'm looking forward to. And if I go into it as Mr. Grumpy Pants, then I'm going to be in a circumstance where the entire day is going to go worse. Yes, it is going to take time. More than likely, it is going to be inefficient. There are lots of things I would rather be doing on a Wednesday afternoon than sitting in some dingy city room trying to get my driver's license situation sorted out. But there are ways that I can make that worse or I can make that better. And so if I spend a few moments tapping on, this is something that has to get done, I only have to do it once, once it's over, I'm through, the people who are there probably want to be there less than I do, it doesn't mean they're going to be grumpy, if I have a smile, I'll make everybody else's day better. And if I approach it in this fashion, what it's going to allow me to do is it's going to allow me to navigate my day much easier. At the end of the day, I just go through my day, I look at everything that happened today, and I see what is still residual and what is still hanging around. So as an example for that, today I received an email about noon that had some emotional charge associated with it. And because of the emotional charge, even sitting here right now and the tapping I did during the day, there's still some of that hanging around. And if I take that emotional charge with me to bed, I'm not going to sleep very well, and it's going to impact how well I do tomorrow. So before I go to bed tonight, I'm going to spend some more time tapping on this issue, and again, I just work my way through the day. So that was just very, very super brief of an introduction. We've covered this before. If you go back into one of the past classes, and I even believe there's a tool on the site that goes into the beginning of the day and the end of the day tapping I'm doing. So I'm going to call that number zero, not number one, because we've covered it before. So tapping method number one, and this is one I just call the basic steps. And this is one that it's really funny. This is one I like to teach because it's so simple to do. And this is one I find myself doing when it comes to things that are big charges for me, when I don't have access to all my resources as a practitioner and someone trained in all this tapping stuff. That this is the tool that I reach for when something's really, really stuck. And to give you a perfect example, you know, the place in my life that I'm doing the most personal tapping and the place in my life that needs the most work is the area around romantic relationships. But I still am carrying some baggage and things I need to clean up about that. And when one of those buttons get pushed, you know, because I get stood up or I don't know what to do or I'm feeling overwhelmed or I'm feeling embarrassed, you know, I become 9 years old again. I just lose everything I ever had in the ability to reach into my resource belt. And so I reach to what I call the basic steps. And the basic steps happens in three simple steps. And I use this a lot. Two nights ago, when I had gone down to the pier where I do my evening tapping and I was taking care of myself, this is what I fell back on. And it just reminded me of how good of a tool it is. Happens in three parts. The first part is, this is what happened. Basically, all I'm doing is I am reporting the facts. He said this, I said this. She did that, I responded in this way. I made a phone call, no one returned my phone call. Whatever it is. You know, I just go through all of the facts as if I was giving a report or a deposition to what was going on. The second step is, this is how I feel. So after I've gone through this is what happened, the next thing I do is this is how I feel. When she did that, I felt overwhelmed. I felt embarrassed. I felt like I was 14 years old again. I felt like I didn't know which way was up. I felt like I wasn't being heard. And when I'm not being heard, I feel like I'm dismissed. And when I'm dismissed, I feel like I'm not being taken seriously and my needs aren't going to be met because no one's going to hear me. So basically what I do is I just start talking and I imagine that I have to come up with three or four or five more descriptors about what is going on and the second part of how I feel. The third part's really simple. This is what I want instead. And in the this is what I want instead part, I simply say, this is how I would like to feel instead. This is how I would like to be heard instead. These are the actions I would like to have the courage to take. This is the outcome I would like to see happen. And what it does is it puts me into a position where it starts to get shift. Now, oftentimes I'll go through the basic steps, and at the end of the basic steps, there'll still be an emotional charge. And when that happens, all I do is I go back to the beginning, and I repeat, and I do it again. This is what happened, and what I'm describing might change because the emotional charge has changed. I might notice more details. I might let some details go because they're no longer significant. This is how I feel. It might be the same emotions to a different degree. It might be the same emotions much stronger. It might be the same emotions much weaker. Or it could be completely different emotions. But all I'm saying is, this is how I feel. And then again, I state, this is what I would like to have happen instead. What's really interesting is when you go through these three steps, is that as you do that, all three parts can stay the same with each round of tapping, or all three parts can change, even in what I want instead. Because as the emotions clear, I might see my way to a new possibility which I didn't recognize before. And by giving myself that chance and that opportunity to clear some emotional space, all of a sudden the possible outcome becomes closer, becomes easier, or it might even be one that I want to be bigger and better. And so I simply work through those three places. So again, way that I have tapped this week, number one, the basic steps. It goes in three parts. This is what happened. This is how I feel. This is what I would like instead. The time I reach for this is when I don't have a lot of time to tap, or I'm so taken by the emotion that I don't have access to my tips and tools and trades and everything else that I normally have at my disposal, because I can always do these three things. I can always say what happened, I can always say how I feel, and I can always say what I want instead. So if you have questions about that, you know, press star 2 to raise your hand, or just type a little question over in our chatty box on the left-hand side, and we will respond to that. Since nothing showed up right away, I'm going to move on to the next one. This one came up, and I had forgotten about it, but it came springing back into mind. I was on the road this weekend, and Saturday night was getting ready for bed, and was kind of in, I was in a suburb of Columbus, Ohio, in a two-star hotel that was completely unremarkable, had an okay dinner, was waiting for my business partner to fly in, and was just hanging out in this dreary hotel room, and there just was this emotional kind of sense that fell over me. But just, it wasn't major overwhelm, it wasn't major sadness, it wasn't major depression, but there was just kind of this malaise, this emotion that just showed up. And so there wasn't an initial sensitizing event. It wasn't like today, where I got an email that was frustrating. It wasn't something was overlapping or overlaying or in present in my life where I could be talking about it specifically, like we talked about in that last little instant, this is what happened, this is how I feel about it. It was just a kind of really gross emotional feeling. And so the tool that I reached for in this case was, I just asked myself the question, the emotion that I'm feeling right now, what age does it remind me of? And instantly, I felt 6 years old. For that was the sense, the number that came to mind. Now, I didn't try and process it, and I didn't try and analyze it, and I didn't think, what happened to me when I was 6 years old that's related to today? I didn't do any of that. What I simply did was I took a nice deep breath, and as I started tapping, I just imagined what I think I was like at six. Now, my imagination of myself isn't going to be accurate because I was looking from the inside out, not the outside in. I had no idea what I looked like at six. You know, I had a sense maybe of what my first grade picture looked like. But so I just guess. I just imagined six-year-old Gene. And then as I tapped, I started having a conversation with him. And the conversation, when I have it with the younger part of myself, always has three parts to it. Part number one, I tell the six-year-old me that he's loved, he's cared for, and there's no judgment here. I tell him he's allowed to think, feel, and believe anything he wants. And I tell him it's okay not to know what to think, feel, and believe. Confusion is acceptable. So what I'm doing is I'm creating a safe space. I'm letting him know that whatever he's experiencing is perfectly fine. And I let him know that confusion is okay. And this is really important, not just when we're working with an inner part or we're having a conversation with a loved one who's struggling. Sometimes when we're dealing with emotions for the first time or an emotion we haven't felt in a while, we have a hard time giving it voice. We have a hard time giving it words. And because we have a hard time giving it voice and words, it's not something that we necessarily know how to describe and say exactly what it is. And so validating that sense of confusion is a really good thing to do. I can remember one time, and I learned this lesson. I was talking with a friend of mine. We were having a heated conversation. And she asked me what I thought about something, and I said, well, I don't know, because I was still trying to get words around my emotions of what was going on. And her response was, no, that was a lie. And she accused me of not telling the truth. And I can remember how unvalidating it was, you know, that one, I might struggle, and two, that I wasn't being believed. And so it created just the opposite impact, shut down. There was nothing else I was going to contribute to that conversation. And so being in a circumstance where we're allowing ourselves to recognize the fact that it's okay not to know is a really good, helpful thing. So, like I said, take a deep breath, find an age, imagine myself at that age. First step, your love and your care for it. There's no judgment here. You're allowed to think, feel, and believe anything you want. Even if you don't know what to think, feel, and believe, that's okay. That's step one. Step two is, I simply ask my six-year-old self, in this case, what's wrong? What are you afraid of? What are you worried about? What needs to be changed? So I just ask lots of open-ended questions, giving six the opportunity to share what they're struggling with, where the place is. And sometimes when I do this, it might be something really, really specific where a memory comes forward and six says, it's really unfair when my brother does this, which gives me a great little thing to tap on. This weekend, when I did it, six just said, I feel really disconnected and alone. Okay? Disconnected and alone. So as I'm tapping along, so step two is finding out what's going on. And then in step three, I just start bringing to six what six needed. You know, I let six know that he wasn't alone. I let six know he's connected to me. I created playmates for six to be connected to. I reminded six of the friends that he had when six. I reminded six of all of the friends that I have now who I'm connected to and who love me. And he has access to those. And so I just went through the process. Just like this, I was sitting with a friend who was struggling with something and just shared with them all of the things I would want them to know if they were facing something like that. So validate the age, let them know that they're safe. Ask them what's wrong. Provide what is needed to alleviate that. Again, the whole time tapping. Now, after I've done this, I ask six, well, what else do you need? Now, sometimes the need might be the same, still feeling lonely. Sometimes the need is something different, not feeling like they have opportunity. And sometimes there's nothing left at all. And so basically, I just repeat this process recursively over and over and over again until six feels comfortable. So let six know if he needs anything in the future, he can just call me, take a nice big deep breath, and I'm done tapping. And so it's just a really simple, straightforward thing. Now, if you wanted to, if the emotion that was still there before is still hanging around, you might ask, what other age does this remind me of? And it might drop you at 14. Or you might decide, well, that's enough tapping for now. Or you're in a circumstance where you're done and you feel okay. So the process is really, really simple. It's tune into the emotion that's there. Ask myself, what age does it most remind myself of? And then go through the three steps of letting the partner know that they're safe and they're cared for, asking them what they need, providing them what they need, tapping the whole time. And we reach for this particular tool when, we can reach for it any time, but I reached for it this week when there wasn't something really specific. There was just an emotion that was hanging around that didn't seem attached to anything else, and it provided a really great, safe way to do that. So that's tapping way number two this week. Tapping way number three was, and before we jump into that again, if you have any questions, just pop them in the chat box. Star two to raise your hand. Number three was the ability or the inability to be easy with myself. From the outside, it looks like I'm doing a really good job. My life is far from perfect, but I have a thriving practice. I just moved to a dynamic big city. I'm getting a chance to do a lot of things that I really love. I'm meeting new interesting people. That's all really great. That's all really wonderful. And there are things in my life that I recognize that I'm doing far from perfectly. And when things work out, there are times where they work out where I feel like they've worked out in spite of me. And even though they've gone the right way, I still didn't do things well. I didn't have the right intention. Something went wrong somewhere along the way. And so the thing that I spend the most time when it comes to just dealing with myself is being gentle with myself and forgiving myself. And in an earlier class, we actually spent a good deal of time talking about that, but I just want to review what the tapping looked like when I did it. And for me, when I'm tapping on forgiveness, the big key point is reminding myself what forgiveness is not. Because often it's really, really easy to think that forgiveness is permitting us to do bad things again. And so when I tap for forgiving myself, it goes just like this. And you can tap along with me if you'd like. I'm just going to start at the eyebrow and then let's move from point to point. When I offer myself forgiveness, I'm not saying it was a good choice. I choose to forgive myself. When I offer myself forgiveness, I'm not saying I shouldn't take responsibility. I choose to forgive myself. When I forgive myself, I'm not saying someone else can repeat what I did. I choose to forgive myself. When I forgive myself, I'm not saying I want to do this again in the future. I choose to forgive myself. When I forgive myself, I'm not saying I want to do better. I choose to forgive myself. When I forgive myself, I'm not saying it was the best choice I could have made. I choose to forgive myself. When I forgive myself, I'm not saying I'm forgetting the lessons. I choose to forgive myself. I choose to forgive myself. Today I choose to forgive myself. Right now I choose to forgive myself. I know I'll need to forgive myself again in the future. I choose to forgive myself. It's really interesting, the word forgiveness and how much power it has. But even without thinking of something specific that I had screwed up or a place that I needed to be gentler with myself, the simple act of saying I need to forgive myself, I forgive myself, I choose to forgive myself, I want to forgive myself, really stirred some emotion. And it wasn't a solid emotion. It kind of came up and down. But there's this demonstration that this is something that's still an issue in my life, and it's something that I need to deal with. And more than likely, it's something I will be dealing with for a very long time to come as well. But just the acknowledgement of that and going after that is a really powerful thing. So that's something I will choose to do in the evening if I don't have a great deal of tapping to do for the day, or I just recognize it's something that's going to be a good thing to do. I'll do some tapping like that. You'll notice we just did two quick rounds of tapping there. I'll probably do that four nights a week before I go to bed, just kind of cleaning stuff up and cleaning myself up, knowing that I'm worthy of having that and having better. So, you know, we had step one, the to-do list. Step zero, the to-do list. Step one, the basic steps. Step two, doing some stuff for younger age. Number three, tapping for forgiveness. The fourth type of tapping I did this week was tapping for overwhelm. Because of my travel schedule, I was on the road Tuesday and Wednesday, and then I traveled again Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. Because of that, my client load was a little bit compressed this week. I talked to a lot more people a lot more often, and there was things that needed to get done. At the end of November, there's a huge conference with 25,000 young people that I'm speaking at that has a huge number of details as far as hotels and travels and contracts and background checks and all sorts of wacky details that are going along with that. So it's been a really, really full days that I've been home. And because of that, I've been really overwhelmed from moment to moment. Now, for my mind, overwhelm is nothing more than trying to do multiple things in a single moment. The way I like to look at it is every task that needs to be done in my life is like a playing card. And when my day is structured well, all of those playing cards are laid out neatly in a row in the order in which I'm going to do them. and I simply pick up one card and I deal with that card one at a time before going on to the next one. And those cards are small and flimsy and light and easy to deal with one at a time. Now, when I feel overwhelmed, basically what happens is every single card and all of the weight of everything that goes along with every card is slid together and is stacked on top of me in this moment. So now instead of trying to manage one thing, I'm managing the weight of everything as if I'm going to do it all at once. In my life, when I feel overwhelmed, my overwhelm exists because I'm trying to emotionally do more than I can do physically in this moment. And so, when I have times of serious overwhelm, like the last week, I don't tap for overwhelm once I'm done being overwhelmed. What I do is I tap for overwhelm long enough to get clear enough to do the next task. And then after that happens, I do the next task. And afterwards, if I'm overwhelmed, I do it again. And so what can happen, and I counted on Thursday of last week, I tapped for overwhelm 16 times throughout the day. Now, that doesn't mean that I took care of all of the overwhelm all at once, but I took care of the overwhelm enough to get me through the task that was in front of me, because realistically, that's how unoverwhelmed I have to be, because I can only do one task next. So I need to get myself unoverwhelmed to do that. So basically what it looks like when I feel super, super overwhelmed is this. And you can tap just so you can get a sense of what it's like with me. Right now I feel overwhelmed because I'm trying to do everything emotionally all at once. And I recognize the fact that there is a lot to do today. And if I do all that there is today in short, small bursts, in little bitty steps, one at a time, I will get done with all of this. Right now, there's a part of me that's worried I'm not going to get it all done. And I appreciate the fact there's a part of me that's worried that I won't get it all done. And I recognize the fact I don't have to do it all right now. I appreciate that part worrying for me, but I only have to do this task now. I take a nice big deep breath, and I'm usually unoverwhelmed enough that I'm able to go into the next task and do that next task, whatever that next task is. And so it becomes this really simple, easy process by doing it bit by bit, little by little, dealing with enough overwhelm to get the task done. And what I usually find as the day goes on, and as I'm crossing things off my to-do list, the amount of overwhelm that shows up in the future becomes less and less and less as the day moves on. But it's putting myself in a position where I'm getting myself clear to do what's next. I'm getting myself clear to do what's next. I'm getting myself clear to do what's next. And what that does is it makes it easy for me to navigate today. Does that make sense? It's a really straightforward thing, and when we're really busy, it's easy to reach for. Now, if I'm doing that, and I do two or three rounds of that, and the overwhelm is still sticking around, and I can't shake it, well, that means it's something bigger. And if that's the case, then what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to that first tool we talked about, the basic steps. This is what's happening. This is how I feel. This is what I'd like to see instead. And by doing that, what I usually do is I clear enough space to put myself into a position where I'm able to move forward much easier. So, again, if you have any questions about any ones we've talked about so far, it'll put yourself in a position to be able to navigate all of this much easier. Question in the chat box on the side or just raise your hand. Finally, I said we had six, and so we hit 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, and then number 5. So there's our 6th tool. This is one that I pulled out twice this week, and I don't know why it came popping back into my mind. I've done this a number of times with clients. It's a really lovely, easy way to relax. And basically what I do is I like to use the idea of color to kind of clean things out of my system without having to know exactly what they are, why they're there, and what they're doing. Now, there are people who feel very, very uncomfortable with this idea of moving color around while they're doing any tapping. For me, it's just an imagination. Frame it however you need to, and if it's a tool that doesn't work for you, that's great as well. So basically what I do is I start tapping, and I just let my fingers do the walking. I'd encourage you to do that, because I'm going to lead you through this right now. And it's going to be just a great way for us to end, going to put you in a great state of mind and just make you nice and calm to end the evening. When we're done, I'll talk a little bit about what we've done. So start tapping on the side of the hand, take a nice big deep breath. And as we tap through this, just move from point to point, in whatever order makes the most sense for you. Now, as you take a nice big deep breath, what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to imagine a rich, pure, clean red light pouring in the top of your head. And as this red light pours into the top of your head, don't guide it, don't direct it, just let it go where it needs to go. And it might flow in straight lines, and it might fill your whole system up, or it might move around as if it's following your circulatory system. And as it moves around, just let the red light break up the things it needs to break up, wash away the things that need to be washed away, and fill up the places that are empty. The entire time, giving yourself permission not to concentrate on what the red light's doing or why it's doing it. Just let it move, knowing that whatever it releases is what it needs to be releasing. And as the red light continues to move and flow throughout the entire system, allow that red light to be joined with the orange light. Now, these lights don't have to travel together. They can travel in opposite directions and move in any way they want. And at a certain point, the red light's going to finish its job, and just the orange light will be remaining. And again, just let the orange light move at the rate and direction that it needs to. Some places it fills up, some places it washes away, some places it breaks apart. And just give it permission to move through the system in a way that makes the most sense. Now imagine this orange light is being joined by a yellow light. And again, these lights do not need to travel the same path, though they may. And at a certain point, the orange light will have done its job and will dissipate. Again, give the yellow light permission to travel the path that makes the most sense. Moving through the system as easy as possible. As it moves through the system, let it fill up the places it needs to fill up, to break apart the things it needs to break apart, and to wash away anything that needs to be washed away. Don't think too carefully about what the yellow light's doing. Let it do it on its own. And let the yellow light be joined by a nice, rich, dark green light. And again, these lights may travel together. They may split apart. At some point, the yellow light will have done its job and will fade away. Again, give the green light permission to travel however it needs to travel throughout the system. Up, down, around, breaking apart, filling up, releasing. The entire time, just tapping from point to point. Don't give too much thought to the direction of the work the green light's doing. It knows what it needs to do. Imagine the green light is joined by a deep, dark, clear blue light. And as this blue light enters into the top of the head, again, it travels on the path that makes the most sense for it. It might just flood and fill the whole system. It might follow the green light. At some point, the green light will finish up and just slowly fade away. The blue light might break things up, wash them away, fill them up, just make the system easier and gentler. Give the green light permission to move in the way it needs to. Give the blue light permission to move in the way it needs to. As you take a nice big deep breath, finally let the blue light be joined by bright violet. And let this violet light again pour into the system through the top of the head. It might follow the blue light and might choose its own path. At some point, like all of the other colors before, the blue will fade away. Give the purple permission to just move through the system and fill the places it needs to fill, wash free what needs to be washed free, and break up anything that is stuck. Again, don't direct it too clearly. Just let it go where it needs to go. And finally, let this violet light be joined by a bright white light. Not only feel the white light penetrating the top of the head, but see it just engulf the entire system, filling it with light, life, and energy, removing anything that is stuck or stagnant. Bring only life. And this life might be energy, and this life might be relaxation, but just let it travel. And take a nice deep breath, knowing full well that any time we need to call the light back, we can. And one more nice big deep breath. Now the beautiful thing about that process is we don't have to think. We don't have to do any work. We just bring the light in and we let it do what it needs to do. Now obviously, I just move through the colors as we just work our way down the rainbow. Red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo. And finally with a bright white light to clean it all up. Now we did it at a particular rate just for time constraints. When you do this on your own, you can spend as much or as little time as you want or need with any particular color. And what that does is it's just a nice way to clean everything up and move everything through. So, good. Stretch a little bit. And if you have some water nearby, have a little drink. Let me have a drink as well. And so that's how I tap this week. Those are the six tools that I used. I tap through my to-do list and I tap at the end of the day. I use the basic steps. What's happening? How do I feel? What would I like to see instead? I did some age work where I spent a little time with me at six and took care of him. I did some tapping for giving myself. I did some tapping for overwhelm, and I spent a little time just running through a color cleanse. I did that once, and it's just really lovely. I did it twice. That's right. So that's what I did this week. As always, if you have any questions, please let me know. You can reach me at gene@tappingqa.com. On Saturday, this week we are doing our question and answer and tap along call. So if you have questions about anything in the tapping world at all that you'd like to talk about, or if you have a request to tap to, please let me know. As always, if you can't make the call, just shoot me an email message letting me know what you'd like to have answered or what you'd like us to tap on. And we'll make sure we bring that up during the call because the call is always recorded. And so if you can't be there, you'll simply be able to access the site to be able to download it and listen to it and tap along with it. It doesn't appear we have any other questions. A nice quiet night. I see a number of you out there, but you're all just being quiet, which is perfectly okay. This is Gene Montrose for Tapping Q&A. I will hope you have a great night, and I will talk to you real soon. Bye-bye.